This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Good afternoon, radio listeners. Welcome to The Encouragers with Minister Barbara Coleman and Minister David Michael, bringing words of encouragement for everyday life.
Our Father, who art in heaven, maker and creator of the entire universe, please forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. I thank you for this opportunity to preach about your word from the Holy Bible. May what I say be helpful to someone and pleasing to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. February is Black History Month. Therefore, I will take a few moments to acknowledge two Black Americans that contributed much to the making of a great United States of America. Number one, Mr. Benjamin J. Bryant, my brother, was the first African American manager of a McDonald's restaurant in Ocala, Florida. He also opened a new McDonald's restaurant as manager. He is the director of choirs at New Covenant Missionary Baptist Church in Ocala, Florida, and a member of the board of directors at the church. Number two, Mr. Howard D. Coleman Jr., my son, is the first manager of Brandon Hospital's partial hospitalization program and intensive outpatient program, which is an expansion of their behavioral health outpatient services in Brandon, Florida. I will speak today on the first Psalms. Verse 1 states, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." The word blessed means happy. Our inward joy is theirs. An exclamation of strong emotion. It results from deep reflection on a subject, from the perspective of the individual. This is a deep-seated joy and contentment in God. From the perspective of the believing community, it refers to redemptive favor. The psalmist paints a picture of the gravitational pull of evil. The counsel of the ungodly refers to advice that encourages people to live evil lives without concern for righteousness or obedience to God. The person moving from walking in the counsel of the ungodly to standing in the path of sinners, then to settling into the seat of the scornful as they embrace an evil way of life. Just as the Sermon on the Mount began with blessings, we see this book of Psalms begins with blessings. Blessed is not speaking of a single blessing, but of walking in blessings from God. To be blessed of God means that we are walking in the salvation that Jesus purchased for us with his precious blood. We are walking in the righteousness of Christ. Notice in the statement, the man, this is an individual thing. Though there may be many worldly people living next to this person, he or she has decided not to walk in the counsel of the worldly. This is a deliberate decision on this person's part. This person may be walking alone. The following scripture describes the walk of the person who decides not to walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Galatians 2:20 states, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." The word walketh means to continually walk. Notice the progression here. At first he is walking, then he is standing, and last he is sitting. This shows that we must not fellowship with those of unbelief. The scornful are those who laugh at believers. We need to see in this that fellowshipping with those of unbelief is dangerous. A believer in Christ is cautioned not to fellowship with those of unbelief. True happiness comes from fellowship with God, not with the world. Verse 2 states, "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night." A spiritually happy man is characterized by consistent contemplation and internalization of God's word for ethical direction and obedience. The law of the Lord here means the word of God, the Bible. To meditate is to think strongly on the matter. We find then that we are not only to read the Bible, but to think strongly about what it is saying to us. We are to ever keep the teachings of the Bible before us. When we think upon God's word, the Holy Spirit will teach us of the hidden things of the word. The more we meditate, the more we know. We will never be able to learn it all, but we can learn more each time we study and think on God's word. When it says day and night, it is speaking of taking God's word with us wherever we go. Our waking thoughts are all guided by God's word. Even in business transactions, we should make our decisions based on God's word. Verse 3 states, "And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." Because of the mostly excessively dry terrain of Israel, a lush tree served as a fitting symbol of blessing in the Old Testament. Salvation is his marvelous work of grace. Yet there is genuine responsibility in appropriating the appropriate resources of God, which lead to eventual productivity. The first image is that of a tree in a dry climate, which nevertheless thrives because of its constant supply of water. A tree bears fruit, not for itself, but for others. Thus, when the faithful prospers, it is not for himself, nor is the prospering even necessarily material, but he succeeds in bringing benefit to others. Supplies of grace drawn from the word of God are what sustain godly people. They put down roots in scripture and draw strength from it for their lives. Those who are deeply planted in God's word may not be wealthy, but they will be fruitful in God's word, which is true prosperity. A tree planted by water will be a very strong tree. It will be nourished by the water. Water in the scriptures many times means the word. We see an example of that in the following scripture, Ephesians 5:26, which states, "That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word." The closest walk that most of us have with God is in the real trials of life. We realize that we are not able to handle a problem on our own, and we reach out to God. If riches would cause me to wander away from God, I do not want riches. Verse 4 states, "The ungodly are not so, but like the chaff which the wind driveth away." This is an abrupt contrast. Literally, the wicked are not so. Chaff is the husk and straw removed by threshing, and it is lighter than the edible kernels. When a farmer tosses threshed wheat into the air, the wind drives away the chaff. Those who reject God's covenant are like the chaff, in that they bring no benefit to anyone. Verse 5 states, "Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous." To stand in the judgment of God is a desired outcome here, a symbol of divine approval. Congregation of the righteous refers to God's people, those whose faith is reflected by their delight in God's word and who live according to it. In the day of judgment, the wicked will not be left standing with those who love God and thrive to obey him. They will be separated and sentenced to eternal punishment. How wonderful to stand before Jesus and hear him say, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." How terrible for the ungodly who will hear him say, "Get away from me. I never knew you." We stand or fall by the judgment of Jesus. The ungodly will fall at this judgment. Heaven is for the believers in Christ. There will be no ungodly in heaven. Verse 6 states, "For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, for the way of the ungodly shall perish. The Lord knoweth. This is far more than recognition. The Lord knows everything. In this context, reference is to personal intimacy and involvement with his righteous ones. He knows with affection and approval. The way of. The repetition of this phrase picks up on the path of imagery or characteristic, so characteristic of this psalm. It refers to one's total course of life, a lifestyle. There is the broad way that leads to destruction, but there is also the narrow way of righteousness, which leads to eternal life in Christ. The righteous have their names written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We, by our own free will, choose eternal life or death. The way we choose to follow on this earth determines the outcome. The righteous are made righteous in the sight of God when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Our own righteousness was as filthy rags until we washed in the blood of the Lamb and took on his righteousness. God knows even the thoughts of our hearts. God knew from the foundation of the earth. He did not foreordain, but foreknew. Jesus died a painful death on the cross, that we might be saved from our sins. After 3 days, he arose with all powers in his hands. He is able to keep us. So turn your way over to his way and live for him. Some listeners may not have given their lives to Christ, but want to do so. There is the saving power of the Holy Spirit. If you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of a living God, and are willing to confess your sins to God and ask for forgiveness, God will forgive you. If you believe and are willing to follow Christ, then join a church that is based on the Holy Bible. Now, a breath of fresh air with Minister David Michael.
Good afternoon and welcome to A Breath of Fresh Air with the Encourager. Today's topic is idolatry. Idolatry is the worship of an idol or cult image, such as a statue or a person in place of God. The Bible strictly forbids idolatry and says that you cannot worship, serve God and mammon. But almost anything can become an idol. Something we worship and serve in place of God. It might be success, or pleasure, or possessions, or money, or anything else we let control our lives. They aren't necessarily wrong in themselves, but they become idols when we make them the most important things in our life. The Bible rejects idols for at least two reasons. First, idols are false. They cannot save us or change our lives for the better. Second, idols cut us off from God. We substitute them for God, and as a result, we turn our backs on him and never come to know him and love him as we should. An idol lies and never satisfies. Has an idol taken God's rightful place in your life? Don't let it happen. God has commanded, "You shall have no other gods before me." Remember, all have sinned and fall short of his glory. Yet, God loved you so much that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, who died, was buried, and arose so that you may have everlasting life. So put God first. Trust and obey his word. And worship the Lord and only him.
You have been listening to Ministers Barbara Coleman and David Michael, bringing you words of encouragement from the Holy Bible. We hope we said something that was encouraging to you as you continue on your life's journey.
You're listening.